Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the John Kincaid Show.
The only place I root for bad guys is on television soap operas. I root for the bad characters. I enjoy the bad characters. The bad characters are far more interesting to me. In real life, I've encountered enough bad characters in my life that I root for the good guys. I aspire to be a good guy, and I root for the good guys.
Here's John Kincaid.
I believe I am one of the good guys. Most days. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust payments, closing costs, online, real time, Rocket can. They do it all. Check out my friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. The day after Independence Day, people have hopefully piped down with the fireworks. A lot of people were complaining about fireworks this morning as I got up, seeing people complaining about it. There you go. Now, you felt like you were living in a war zone last night, Anthony, right? You were not too happy.
Yeah, and I love fireworks, but even after a while, I was like, damn, I mean, it's still going on. I'm trying to watch TV. I keep on having to pump up the volume on the television.
Wow. Unbelievable. Buck Martinez, by the way, joins us this hour. Anthony, I do not believe I have spoken to Buck since I moved to CBS Sports Radio.
I don't believe that is true. I'm pretty
really?
Sure. I have to
You're
go
sure?
back and look at my text messages, but I'm pretty
know.
Sure at some point he's been on with you.
I love Buck. Great guy. And maybe because of the fact that I've been almost 20 years working on a daily basis with Buck Ballou. So I'm partial to guys named Buck. And I'm partial. I know that they're winners. And Buck Martinez will join us talking Major League Baseball. Current Blue Jays broadcaster about the return of Major League Baseball coming up during the show today. I have a question for Anthony. So we find out Braves will visit the Mets to start the season on Friday, the 24th of July. There are 10 games. You're playing 10 games versus your divisional opponents. So the four teams in the division. So your Mets, they're going to play the Braves five times. They're going to play the Nationals five times. They're going to play the Marlins five times and the Phillies five times. Okay, at home, and then they'll play five on the road. Why are from what the schedule leaks are, the Braves will play three at the Mets, and then they'll go play another series. Why would they make the Braves go twice to New York?
Just get it over with in the one shot.
If teams in their divisions are playing they're playing 10 games against each other, five at home, five on the road, why would you make them travel twice if your hair is on fire about fears of COVID-19? Why would you not play a five-game series? Why would you make these teams travel like that? Why would you make the Braves go twice to New York to play the Mets? Oh, and by the way, when the Braves go to New York to play the Mets, they then go right across town. I think you'd play four games against the American League East teams, right? So you have the five American League East teams that you have to face.
So I don't know how they're dividing all the games up.
Well, I think that's how it is.
I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to play 40 games within your division,
and then you're going to play 20 against the American League East.
Yes,
which I believe is five teams, right? Or is it six?
No, there's five teams.
Okay, five teams. So you play each of them four times. This is how the schedule would work out. So the Braves should go from playing five games against the Mets. The next two games they play should be against the Yankees. Play a seven-game road trip, which is a normal activity at any time in a baseball season, and then go home and play seven games. And then if you want to give them one of their days off there, then when they go to Boston, have them go to Boston, have them go to Philadelphia for five, and have them go to Boston for two. That's another seven-game road trip. Or have them go to Toronto for two, and then they come home and they do it. Why would you make them go twice to New York, twice to Philly, twice to the Nationals? It makes no sense. Makes no sense. But that's baseball. Let me get started here. Did you watch Hamilton? Anthony, did you watch Hamilton the other night?
No, I did not.
So you did not.
I feel like
did
I'm in the minority on this one. I feel like everybody on social media was saying how they were going to be tuning in.
Yes.
Since they couldn't afford a ticket to go see it in person on Broadway, they were going to take advantage and watch it on Disney Plus.
I mean, it's to me, it is pretty crazy. I am very I'm very surprised. I am very, very surprised at the story that was told in Hamilton. Because, yep. Look, my daughter has played this soundtrack so many times, I feel like I'm going to break into song sometimes, or rap. What I'm going to say to you is this. I really can't, I was a little surprised that Alexander Hamilton was depicted the way he was. Now, I am a fan of Broadway, as you know, because of my daughter. And so I was exposed to life, to that. And before my daughter, I had never seen a Broadway show. I have seen a ton of Broadway shows now. What I do know about Alexander Hamilton, and it doesn't really take a hard time to know, is that Alexander Hamilton was absolutely complicit in the slave trade. And he was not somebody who was brave standing out against slavery and speaking out against slavery. There is no history to that. And to me, I'm trying to figure out. And it was, what I'd really like everybody to do is take the time. There is a woman that I really wish we could have on the show sometime to talk about it, because I went down the rabbit hole of reading some of her writings. And she is a historian. She is a law professor at Harvard. And her name is Annette Gordon Reed. Annette Gordon Reed, hyphen. What I would suggest to you is, this lady is not only knows her stuff, but explains it in a way that doesn't get wonky. Like, it's not too deep. It's not so deep that, like, she's trying to tell you how smart she is. She's a historian. She has all the facts on her side and everything. But she is most certainly not making it like, let me write this so I can tell you how smart I am. She's an amazing writer. Amazing writer. But it's interesting. And it says, she writes... And she is, by the way, an African-American woman. And she writes that, as a historian, a Broadway show is not a documentary. Artists have the right to create, but historians have the right to critique. And by the way, they should. The Hamilton, in an era where we are now seeing people want to tear down statues... And by the way, like in Minnesota, or tearing it down, or defacing statues like in Philadelphia, in my hometown, defacing statues of people who fought for slaves' rights. And they're trying to tear down statues and tear it apart. Hamilton? We're celebrating Alexander Hamilton? He was not an abolitionist. Under any sense of the word, he was never an abolitionist. He was involved in the slave trade, and she has written a beautiful paper on it. Dr. Gordon Reed has written a beautiful paper on it. And I'm quoting her. He was not a champion of the little guy, like the show portrayed. He was an elitist. He wanted to have a president for life. He wasn't an abolitionist. He bought and sold slaves for his in-laws. And opposing slavery was never at the forefront of his agenda. And in the musical, only Jefferson is depicted as a slaveholder. But in fact, Madison owned slaves too. So did George Washington and others. So in an era where we are trying, where we have people that are trying to cleanse history by tearing down statues of founding fathers, people want Mount Rushmore changed. They want it destroyed. Let's take it down. Let's clean up that part of our history. And in the same day, and then in the same exact day, we're celebrating a musical like Hamilton, which, by the way, is very talented. If you're just going for entertainment value, fantastic. I think it's creative. I think it's interesting. I think it's new, different, not new and different anymore. Huge hit. But on one hand, it's cancel culture of people that lived 220, 230, 250 years ago. It's cancel culture about there because they were slave owners. And I see some of the same people on social media that have been talking about that. Got to tear down that statue. Got to do this. And they're saying, can't wait to sit down and watch Hamilton. I guess people slept through history class. I guess people slept through history class because there is nothing. Hamilton is highly entertaining and highly creative and different. And then it scared me when I read that we have American school districts that use Hamilton to teach history. When in fact, take the time to read Annette Gordon Reed's piece and analysis from Harvard. By the way, an African-American woman that clearly states this isn't history. We don't like that part. We don't want to tell that part of the story. So we're going to tell this part of the story. But leaving out a lot of really, really important stuff. Can't do it. Especially in an era now where we're talking about things like the Redskins' name and everything like that, or we want this guy no longer to be celebrated. We can't just make a decision. Can't pick and choose. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. Sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico's offering an extra 15% on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. If we're going to have discussions about the Redskins' name and things like that, and guess what? These are important discussions to have. But at least with me, I demand that they be factual. I demand that they be, that we're not just picking and choosing. If we're appalled by A, you can't choose to not be appalled by the exact same action by someone else. And a sanitized version of history, whether it's a musical, whether it's whatever, I think it's dangerous, dangerous. That's a dangerous, dangerous precedent. So the NFLPA wants no preseason games. They vote and they want a no preseason games in a conference call the other day. So the NFL owners want to have two. The NFLPA wants to have none. Okay, that's fine with me. I absolutely, if that's what the NFLPA thinks they need to get ready for the season, I'm cool with that because they know a hell of a lot more than I do about what they need to get ready for a season. But this is going to affect, again, this should affect the salary cap and revenues. So that decision is going to affect the ability for the players to make money and what they will be compensated on going forward. And as long as the players embrace that and the owners just aren't expected to eat it, like the Major League Baseball players just wanted the ownership to eat it, they wanted them to just, well, look at the owners have so much money. I heard that from a million callers, emailers, whatever. Yeah, well, the owners are rich. These guys are billionaires. They're billionaires. They should be able to suck it up here. These players are the ones going out. I would get the players are going out risking their lives. Yeah, risking their lives. You know who's risking their lives? The people we talked to earlier. First responders. People who've been working the entire pandemic. People who have been sheltering in place in mansions with people delivering them their food, stocking their shelves. But man, it's the NFLPA doesn't want to play. That is their that's their right for the preseason. If they say we only want to play for because you see what happens is it's full price. Again, they want to be paid their full price. What's on their contract? Again, that's good. But remember, there's going to be a price to pay. Carlos Medina, front office Los, joined us on the show around a month ago to give you the scary details. Every time the NFL doesn't play a game, every time the NFL doesn't have a normal activity, every time NFL doesn't have fans in the stands, revenues go down. You know what that affects? Future salary caps. You know what that means? Your team having to cut your favorite player that they can no longer afford to pay. Oh, no, no, no. They can't do that. That wouldn't be fair. Don't give me fair. There is a working agreement on how players are paid. How they're paid. And it's going to be revenue sharing. So anything that the Players Association does in the NFL to make less games, to let the owners have less revenue, because of the partnership, because of revenue sharing, because of the salary cap, it's all going to come back in their laps. And in future years, it's going to come back on you when your team has to cut your favorite player because they can't afford to pay them because of the salary cap hit that they're going to take in future years. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4CBS if you want to get in with us here on the John Kincaid Show. The Patriots, they're just smarter than we are, flat out. Except that one Sunday when Nick Foles called the Philly special and it was just awesome. And I loved it. It's John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This is the John Kincaid Show. John Kincaid, and this is his show on CBS Sports Radio. Here's John Kincaid.
I appreciate you being a part of the show. Tell your family, tell your friends. Spend as much time with the show as you can. If your local show checks out for local programming, and by the way, don't be mad at your local stations if they do that. These are great stations who carry the show. We love all of them. I wish they stayed for the whole show, but they got to make money, and sometimes they do. You can listen on the radio.com app for free. You can go to SiriusXM 206, listen all you want. And by the way, the radio.com app allows you to rewind, so you can go back and listen to what you missed maybe when you were sleeping in. And then next week, you get your butt out of bed and you listen to the show. Just kidding. Just kidding. Hopefully, I'm having a great day today. Anthony, what did you have for 4th of July dinner?
By the way, future owner of the Mets right here.
Oh, you think so, eh? You think so? The future owner of the Mets.
J-Lo.
You think J-Lo's going to own the Mets?
Well, she's going to need some help. Her and A-Rod need some help, so.
Well, I hope the owner of the Sixers doesn't buy the Mets. Because if that is, that would be just sheer stupidity. Just sheer stupidity. Not to mention the continued belief that they've got a really good head coach. What did you have for dinner for 4th of July?
For dinner, I had two hot dogs and a cheeseburger.
Guess what? I had yesterday between two meals, I had two brats and a cheeseburger. How about that? You and I both the same exact thing. Just a regular hot dog, not a brat.
Just a regular old hot dog with mustard and a lot of sauerkraut.
You're a big sauerkraut guy.
Love sauerkraut.
Brown or yellow mustard?
I had yellow mustard yesterday. I'm not opposed to the brown, but I had yellow
mustard.
Yesterday.
I love brown mustard.
I love mustard. I also put mustard on my cheeseburger.
Oh, you do? Yeah.
Yes.
A little. That's not bad. Put it in a little mix there.
No, I love
it. I'm not a big fan of ketchup.
I like ketchup. But
a little dash of ketchup is fine to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's so sweet. Like, it just, I guess I don't drink soda. I don't drink sweet iced tea.
Nah, not anymore.
So I guess I just look, like, when I taste ketchup, and believe me, it tastes great, but it just tastes sweet to me. It's a sweet taste. So, by the way, got to see if one of my buddies is up in Vegas. Because I'm trying to figure out. We go to Vegas in 2 weeks, and I'm hoping we'll go to Vegas in 2 weeks.
So, wait, you still haven't decided whether or not you're going?
No, we're going, but I just don't want anything to mess up. Look, it's 2020, dude. There could be an asteroid or something. I mean, honestly, the way stuff goes. But I want to know if I'm allowed to sit in the sports book. Is anybody in Vegas that's listening? And if my buddy Scott is up getting ready for his Raiders show out there on our Vegas affiliate, maybe he will even call in at 855-212-4CBS. I know I have to wear a mask indoors, but I'm wondering, can I sit in the sports book and have a cocktail and watch games or watch something, even though there's not going to be much on?
In Atlantic City, you could just sit down and you could play the, you could gamble.
Play the games, right.
No drinking, no eating. You can't even have water on the floor.
What?
No.
Why? Why?
That's the rules of the Atlantic City casinos.
Okay, can I ask? So New Jersey, by the way, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut setting the rules. We're talking about the states that handled everything the worst. I don't trust them to get this right. That they're getting the right rule. You can't have a drink in a casino? Makes no sense. Tony in Kingsport, Tennessee joins us. Tony, where's Kingsport?
Kingsport is up in the northeast corner, Kingsport, Bristol, Johnson City.
Oh, okay. So it's near the Tri-Cities. So Tri-Cities,
yeah,
airport
Tri-Cities.
Area. Okay.
Yes,
oh, I have been. I have been. Very nice place. What's going on?
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call, John. I appreciate it so much.
Glad to have you on.
I understand the what's going on as far as racial injustice, and of course that's been going on a long time, and things have to change, and I think things are changing. One of the things that I'm not sure about, I understand the issue. I don't know that I'm smart enough to figure out how to correct it. Put it that way. I think revising or rewriting history and that kind of thing is not really the answer, because what is that old saying? I can't remember who coined the phrase, but it says, if you forget your history, you're bound to repeat it.
Yes.
And you need to learn from them. You know, where real change, social issues are going to change is in the living room, where you tell your kids, this is wrong. Don't treat someone this way simply because the color of their skin or they look differently than you.
And I love your, Tony, and I appreciate it. I got to run. I love your message of personal responsibility, because my pastor talked about this yesterday. Monsignor Dillon talked about this at Mass yesterday. If we fix our house, and then our house reflects well on our circle of friends, and we actually work on being better people and everything within our house and then within our circle of friends, and then everybody that our circle of friends then interacts with, things get a little better. He was saying then you actually affect change in the city of Atlanta, where we live. You actually affect change. But it starts with incremental change. It starts with small change. And you can small change that every one of us can control. I liked your message. Carl in Chicago joins us. Carl, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, John. I have to tell you, I 100% realized this morning that you are my favorite morning jockey in America.
I appreciate that, Carl. I'm really honored by that because you got some good ones in Chicago too. So you got some guys I really like there.
I find myself listening to CBS more than my own local radio.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right. So it seems like to me what Nike and FedEx are doing, it kind of reminds me as if like they're at the final table of the WSOP and they're working together to try to bully out the Redskins with a huge raise. And what Snyder has to do right now is decide if Nike is bluffing with a 2-7 deuce trying to sneak out a brush, or if he actually has the pocket kings. And after six times the raise, it's just Nike, it's FedEx, and it's the Redskins. And right now, he's sitting there tapping the table, and Snyder's like, do I call, do I fold, do I call, do I fold?
He's going to fold. He's going to fold.
Okay, all right.
I think he's going to fold.
Well, duly noted. Now, here's a question I have for you, my friend. If I walked into a room and I saw you punching my brother in his face, and we both know that he doesn't really deserve it, and I told you to stop punching him in the face because I thought it was wrong, and I explained to you why I thought it was wrong, and after a little bit of convincing, you agreed, and you said, you're right. This is wrong. I will stop punching your brother in the face. And after I rejoice and I celebrate because I stood up for myself and I got what I wanted, and I leave the room, you start kicking him in the sack.
Ah.
Now, you did what I wanted. You stopped punching him in the face, but you just kind of switched. You're still hurting my brother. My whole goal should have been to get him out of the room in the first place.
Carl, how big's your brother?
My brother is, he's 6'1", 215.
Okay, I'm not messing with your brother, Carl. I promise. And I'm not kicking him in the sack.
No, appreciate your call.
Right. I appreciate your call, buddy. Had a little fun at the end. All right, one more. David in Norwood, Massachusetts. David, where is Norwood?
Southwest of Boston by 20 miles.
Oh, okay.
Between Boston and Gillette Stadium.
Okay, fantastic. I know exactly where that is then. I just always, I love hearing when people tell us where they're from. I love hearing where you're from.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thanks for asking. So is this a right-wing Trump station?
No, it's not at all.
Okay, so why are you comparing the risk that the players are going to take with the frontline health workers?
I'm not comparing it. No, whoa. Okay. You're spinning. Wait, no, you're spinning the tail. Frontline health workers, I did. But I also, clearly, if you listened, I compared it to your Amazon delivery guy. I compared it to the person who works at your local supermarket. I compared it to the person that delivers your food to your house while you shelter in place. It's not just the frontline workers. And you know what? None of them are in as safe an environment as Major League Baseball players will be. None of them will be tested every day like that.
I tuned in when you were talking about football players.
Oh, no, we were talking about baseball players too earlier.
Let's stick to football players, okay? They are most at risk. They are going to be in huddles in close proximity with lots of sweat on each other, lots of breathing on each other. Lots of possible spread.
Absolutely. Much more than baseball.
Yeah, exactly. And also, what was I going to say? I lost my train.
It's all right. One thing I'd ask, because I got to run because I'm at the bottom of the hour. I got to get a sport. But I'm going to ask you to do one favor. Stop with the crap when you disagree with someone in 2020. Well, is this a right-wing Trump station? As we said before, if you do a little bit of research on me, you would know that that was an asinine comment. So stop with that. Can you show people a little more respect? Because that's completely ignorant. My social media is an open book. My belief system's an open book. And it's a little bit, it's very, very easy to go back just to 2016 and realize what I think. So stop doing that to people. Don't be jerks. Don't be jerks in 2020. I disagree with this guy. Well, then he must support the candidate that I don't like. If you took 2 seconds to actually listen and understand people, you may realize maybe the person I'm listening to doesn't support either candidate. Maybe they don't like either candidate. Maybe they don't like anything that's offered. Everything doesn't have to be political just because the opinion might offend you. Let's toughen up a little bit. Can we? Toughen up.
Peace up. A-Town down.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He loves being right. We just wish he was more often. Now back to the JK Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I rolled into Truist Park this morning here at Battery Atlanta, where the studios of 6A The Fan are, parked right staring at the Bobby Cox statue, and I was blasting this. Windows down, 4:50 in the morning. I was blasting this. Nobody around, so I can do these kind of things. Appreciate you being a part of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, and I hope you're having a great day after Independence Day. I used to love getting to chat with this guy back in my days at ESPN Radio when this show was on the ESPN Radio Network, or I'd be filling in for Colin Cowherd or Mike Tirico or Dan Patrick. Loved talking to Buck Martinez, former Major League Baseball catcher, current Toronto Blue Jays broadcaster, and he joins us now on the JK Show. Buck, it's good to hear from you again. How are you doing, buddy?
John, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing really well. And, Buck, I got to tell you, I'm dying for baseball. I mean, just there's, you know, we've been talking for so many months about sports being back, and I swear I can smell it. I can smell it. We're 19 days away, I guess, right now from what should be opening day. How do you feel about the restart of baseball and the plan?
Well, you know what? First of all, I got to say you brought back great memories talking about Bobby Cox. I was fortunate to play for him in Toronto, of course, before he left and went to Atlanta. But
he's a great man.
Great Bobby Cox.
And I stare at his statue when I park my car on Sunday mornings.
No,
I'm staring right at it.
But as far as the plan of baseball, I'm like you and so many baseball fans. We're all very anxious to get the game back on the field. But, you know, we're still a ways away from that. We've got to get these players through spring training, summer camp, if you will, healthy. And, you know, each day we have another player make the announcement that he's not going to participate. David Price, the most recent. And, of course, you know, in Atlanta, Freddie Freeman said he's been tested positive, and you know, players are going to get it, and it's just a matter of how disciplined each particular team is as to how healthy they can stay. And the Toronto Blue Jays are in a unique situation because they have to cross the Canadian border, of course, and they hope to do that this evening, flying from Tampa up to Toronto. So hopefully everything will go well. They're working out today in Dunedin, and then they will travel north this afternoon.
When you think of these stories, and when you hear it, when 2% of the 3,000 some tests came up positive, and then you realize that the majority of the people who even tested positive were asymptomatic. Does that make you feel pretty confident? Because this is what I guess every American workplace that has stayed open has been dealing with for months.
Yes. You know, what's really interesting is we have a group of athletes, all across the board, professional athletes that are dramatically focused, and they're goal-oriented. Their time schedules are terrific, and they're very disciplined in their preparation for each individual sport. And they have all been given the instructions and the protocol of how you stay healthy. And I would hate to be that one guy that strays off campus and brings the virus into your clubhouse. So I think the team's generally going to be pretty good about this. And I think with the Blue Jays situation, they're going to be basically quarantined at Rogers Center. They're going to stay in the hotel inside the building. They'll never have occasion to leave. They're going to be fed in the hotel. They're going to work out in the hotel, in the ballpark. And they have four different clubhouses. So they certainly can utilize social distancing in that regard, and they will work out. Yesterday, Ross Atkins talked about a normal spring training day is 3 to 4 hours long. Well, these spring training days are going to be 12 hours long. They're going to have different shifts, different coaches, and you know, they're just going to keep shifting in the players, keep it the exposure at a minimum. So hopefully that will help avoid any kind of outbreak.
Buck, does the 60-player pool you think give an advantage to certain organizations around baseball, that they're just deeper, they're just smarter? And I know a guy you know very well, Alex Anthopoulos, running the Braves. He's got a locked and loaded minor league system. I wonder how these managers are going to use these players that they're going to have access to. In a 60-game season, do you just roll the dice with your best players from the major league level, or do you try to get a look at some of your best prospects and get them in there, trying to make sure everybody's rested and up to speed?
John, I think this has got a chance to be one of the most interesting seasons, if you will, that we've seen in a number of years because of just what you said. If you have a young player, say he's a double-A, triple-A player, but he's marvelously skilled like Pache.
Yes.
And you bring him up to play center field for a few days, and he can win you a game or two. That's going to be very valuable. And, you know, this is going to be a sprint. I think we're going to see teams have a different type, a different style of play, trying to score first, trying to score as many runs as possible, hitting and running, a little more aggressive. Remember, all of the teams have been off this lengthy period of time, and their defense isn't going to be as keen as it normally would be. So I would put pressure on the defense by running, using guys that can hit and run, you know, departure from the norm of baseball in the 2010s.
Yes.
I would go to a different style of baseball right out of the chute, especially when you have young athletes like the Blue Jays and the Braves.
Okay, tell me. Do you think in a 60-game season with this kind of flexibility and these kind of demands, are you better off having the old-school manager or the new-school manager?
That's a great question. Well, you know, nobody's more old-school than I am. But there are so many great aspects of the analytical departments now that have really complemented old-school. But like with Brian there in Atlanta, he's certainly old-school, but he's
Love
had
him.
To open up his mind and then utilize some of the information. And I think if you can blend those two, you have the best of both worlds. And obviously with Acuna and Albies and the speed they have and Swanson, you can do a lot of things. I think you can catch teams flat-footed if you go back to play the 80s and 90s style baseball we saw in the major leagues at that time.
I am so looking forward to baseball, and Buck, you got me fired up for it. And when you do get to come to Truist Park, I'm going to hunt you down. My studios are right next door, and I'm going to buy you an adult beverage.
That would be terrific, John.
Thanks, Buck.
Great day. Thanks
Look forward
for
to seeing
me.
You soon. Take care, man. Blue Jays broadcaster Buck Martinez joining us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. One of the I told Anthony beforehand, one of the kindest people around the baseball game that I ever encountered. There would be a triumvirate. If you would, of people that I've met that I just always seem to have time for people. Buck Martinez, one of them. Jason Stark, one of them. Tim Kirkchin, one of them. Really awesome. And great, great guys over the years. I couldn't believe that Anthony showed up for work today with a Kanye for President t-shirt. Now, Anthony, we're trying to keep politics out of the workplace. But where'd you get the Kanye?
That is not true. I'm wearing an orange New York Mets t-shirt today.
So you're not wearing Kanye for President t-shirt?
No.
I immediately, when I saw the news last night that Kanye announced that he's running for president, I immediately had to contact Shaq and say, would you get to the bottom of this, please? Before we tape the podcast this week, we've got to get to the bottom of this. I said, better yet, let's just get Kanye on. He's been on the podcast before. I said, we need to get Kanye on. Now Kanye's running for president. I heard people speculating, isn't it too late to run for president? No. Do you smell a rat, Anthony, in Kanye running for president? Do you smell
Nothing.
A rat? Do you
smell
have a theory?
Something.
Do you have any theory that maybe, I mean, because I've been thinking about it. I mean, could there be a reason that he wants to run, maybe pull votes away from one candidate? Interesting. This is an interesting story. It's one to watch. Can you imagine if they ever let Kanye be in on the debates? Can you? Did you see him on Celebrity Family Feud? I mean, seriously.
I did not.
Oh, you didn't see Kanye on Celebrity Family Feud?
No, I did not.
It was the West family versus the Kardashians. You can Google it and see it. It was the West family. So it was Kanye, his relatives, and Kim versus the Kardashians. Kris Kardashian and her entire family. Kris, who has a stunning resemblance to my own bride, who I will be happily married to for 18 years. She's happy some days with me, but 18 years on Tuesday, our wedding anniversary dinner tonight. But yeah, that's one to watch. That's one to watch for. Here's one of the crazy stories of 2020. There we go. Here's one for you. If you haven't seen it yet on Netflix, they've brought back a series. And I've got a little bit of a gripe with the way that they've brought it back. Unsolved Mysteries is back. It's back on Netflix. So they brought back a show that honestly kept me up at night. Just if I would ever watch this on the back in the day, and I watched it at an odd hour, I taped it and watched it at an odd hour. Yes, actually put in a videotape and watched it. Just the music alone used to freak me out.
And the voice of Robert Stack.
Oh, Robert Stack was the best.
But John, I went back on YouTube a couple nights ago, late at night, and watched an old episode.
Did it freak you out? I got chills,
yeah.
Did it freak you out?
Yes.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say.
From 1989, yeah.
I'm not ruining anything. This is the part of the music that really got me. Right there. It's like, oh my gosh. I will tell you this. Netflix, you disappointed me a little bit in the reboot. I just watched the first episode. But Unsolved Mysteries used to give me 3 or 4 Unsolved Mysteries in one show. Not one story in one episode. I watched 48 Hours Mystery for that. That Erin Moriarty, lover. Watch Dateline or watch 2020 for something like that. Unsolved Mysteries was quick. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 3 or 4 different stories. I'm a little disappointed that it's like one story per episode. That's not Unsolved Mysteries. And by the way, Robert Stack can't be with us, but you need a narrator. You need somebody who tells the story. That was what was so great about it. Someone coming out of the fog in a trench coat, scaring the hell out of you. We got 1 hour to go. Hey, my Atlanta listeners are actually going to get to hear it too. Join us. 1 hour to go on the John Kincaid Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.